want to know what's going on in the world, if you're trying to find out who won, who didn't, did you tune in last night to Jim Bohannon right here on WCRS? He's always on with us 10 to 1 at night, and last night he had a super long shift up there in Washington, D.C. Understand he flew back home this morning. How you doing, Jim Bohannon?
Oh, I'm looking for a chance to catch up on my sleep, Ann.
Yeah. Well, how'd it feel to be back in D.C. since you've moved south here? How'd it feel to be back up there in the desk?
Well, it was fun. It was good to do. Better to live down here, but it's a nice place to visit.
Yeah. So, did you see the Trump coming? The Trump train coming?
Oh no, I don't think anybody did. I'd be perfectly honest. I'm sure that it must have surprised Donald Trump as well. It was not expected, no.
So how do you think that do you think that the people just kept their opinions to themselves and went to the polls and just voted their true feelings?
Well, I do. I think that people were not telling the pollsters what they were going to do, because polling methodology is pretty good, which is not to say that anybody's obligated to tell a pollster what they're going to do, but I don't think they did.
Yeah. So then, of course, the stock market last night around, 1 o'clock was tanking, and this morning I just saw something that came across on the news that said financial health care, our markets are rebounding, and so what do you think the effect of Trump is going to be?
That'll be very interesting. For one thing, I think this is a very crucial time for four people: Mike Pence, Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani, and Chris Christie. Trump's running mate and three top advisors are going to have to sort of take Trump and they say this is how it's done, because Donald Trump doesn't really understand that much about the Constitution or the restrictions that exist on the presidency. He's too used to dealing in the private sector. And, I mean, like one time not that long ago, Trump made some comment about what the military could be told to do, and he was pointed out that Trump was talking about unlawful orders. The military can't be required to obey unlawful orders. And Trump's response was, well, they'll obey me, and you know, nobody sat him down to explain that he's not a little tin-horn dictator. I'm not saying that Trump will try to be one. I'm simply saying he just doesn't understand the restrictions that go with the office. So it's important that those four advisors, who know which end is up, help Trump understand what he's taking on.
Yeah, I think today... I have seen a lot of jubilation out of a lot of people who basically always keep their mouths shut and don't say a whole lot. I'm really talking about local people. I'm not talking about talking heads or anything like that. But in our community here, I've seen a lot of people. I've gotten telephone calls and people knocking on our doors saying, can you believe it? This type of thing. So it's been a very interesting day for the feeling of our country.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's one, I think, thing that summarizes what took place here, and that is that the people in this country just had enough of government telling them what to do, and that government knows best, and the basic response here was, get off my back. That was the single important message that came out of this, that the government was, and especially the power elites, we're just reaching the point of telling the public what to do on every little thing that comes along, and the public said, no, enough, stop.
Yeah, I think that this is even going to have an effect on our local governments, our state governments, in what the people are going to be willing to say, well, it's government, okay. I think the people now are going to say, no, this isn't right. I think this has given them a new impetus to put their 2 cents worth into it rather than just going along to get along?
I would hope so. There isn't really a Trump movement as such. I mean, you can look, for example, at various schools of political thought, the libertarian school of thought, and it's not just Rand Paul or Gary Johnson. There are people out there who identify with that viewpoint, or social conservatism, or liberalism like Bernie Sanders, and there are people who follow that school of thought. It's hard to identify a Trump movement, per se, except for Donald Trump. It's Trump and his bombastic big mouth and all of that, but there's no members of that group as such, and so until such time as you have an actual movement, then this is going to be largely identified with Donald Trump. And you look at political movements that are known principally by the individual who leads them, like Ross Perot. Without Ross Perot, the Reform Party disappeared, and that's just one example. Some movements are defined by an ideology, by a viewpoint, and some are defined by people. And this is very much defined by Donald Trump. And until such time as you can show me people who are adherents of Donald Trump's philosophy, aside maybe from Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, who doesn't have any of Trump's personality, then I'm not sure where this goes beyond just Trump.
Well, don't you think, you know, Ross Perot never made it as president, but Donald Trump did just make it as president. Don't you think that's going to have a more of a stamp of impression on people that if you stand up and if you do, then maybe things can change?
Oh, I'm sure that it will in the very the general sense like that. But, of course, I mean, the Trump movement is a movement that, I guess if you could define exactly what Trump stands for other than just the bombast and all, it would be a form of populist nationalism, trade deals that benefit this country and not other countries, but hurt this country, defending our borders, this sort of thing. And for example, just to pick one case in point, let's say that a trade deal comes up before the next Congress, proposed almost certainly by a Republican, your garden variety, standard Republican. Donald Trump, president, is almost certain to oppose it. Who will join him in opposing it? Democrats, in all likelihood. So there'll be more than a few times when Republican, and I put that in quotes, Republican President Donald Trump will probably depend more on Democratic votes than Republican votes. He's not really a Republican, never has been. It doesn't make him good, doesn't make him bad, it just means he's not really a Republican.
So do you think that the things about repealing Obamacare, the potentially the building of the wall, do you think these things are going to be done in the first 100 days as he's promised?
Oh, well, first 100 days, I mean, you can start something in the first 100 days. I don't know that it'll happen in the first 100 days, just to take the case of Obamacare in point. You've got a president, you've got two houses of Congress who all agree on this. I would dare say that Obamacare will be repealed, whether it's in the first 100 days or the first half a year, I don't know, but I fully expect it'll be repealed. Of course, in the case of Obamacare, you can't just repeal it because we've destroyed so much of the infrastructure that existed before Obamacare came in, so there's nothing to go back to. You'll have to replace it with something. But yes, I expect that to happen. And like I said, the first 100 days, there's nothing magic about the first 100 days.
Sure.
But yeah, before, let's say, before June of next year, I would guess that it'll probably be repealed. Yeah.
Yeah. It sure is interesting. And, you know, I think all the newscasters were just totally in awe every time he won another state last night. It was just like, wow, he's just pierced the blue wall there.
Well, I certainly felt that Trump's efforts were finally rewarded by the public. There's no question about the fact that he struck a resonant chord with the public, and they responded in kind.
What do you think about, Hillary last night? I jokingly have said that I would have hate to have been in her suite.
Well, we will never know exactly what her response was. We know that she is a shall we say, a rather person of strong views, and then, quite frankly, often a profane person. I'm sure that as it became clear to her that her lifelong dream was being shattered, that she probably wasn't pleasant to be around. I will say this, after a campaign of some of the lowest rhetoric in the recent memory, Trump's victory speech last night and Hillary's concession speech this morning were two of the finest, most magnanimous speeches that I've heard in a long time. That is a really healthy beginning to the process of healing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Her concession speech was very gracious.
Yeah.
Very, very gracious. What do you think is next for Hillary?
Well, let's see. First of all, she's 69 years old, and she's not exactly poor, so it's not like she has to do anything. She could certainly just sit on her tail and quietly survive very nicely on the millions that she's amassed. I don't think that will happen. Hillary Clinton is a driven individual, and I don't mean that in a bad sense. She has to, quote, do something, and my guess is she'll stay active in some way. I would seriously doubt that will include any run for public office, but my guess is that she'll stay active in some way, and I imagine that she and Bill will probably continue to speak for large speaking fees, although I'm not so sure now that there's no prospect of them being back in real power again that they'll be able to command the $500,000 a speech or whatever it is that they have up till now.
I was wondering if she might be moving to Saudi Arabia or Qatar or someplace like that, you know. Some people have said they're leaving the country if Donald Trump became president. I think Whoopi Goldberg and some others.
Yeah, and we must remember to remind all of those people because we wouldn't want them to forget their promise. If that's how they feel, we must be sure and remind them that you said you would leave. So, goodbye. Let us know when you're going. We want to be sure and see you off at the airport, or let us know.
Yeah.
We shouldn't just ignore them if they made such a heartfelt plea that they were going to leave. We should be sure and remind them to leave.
Exactly. But legally, do you think that Hillary's going to have any problems, or possibly the foundation is going to have any problems?
Very possibly. I mean, certainly the Clintons, I think that it's very clear, the evidence is strong, that they did engage in pay-for-play and that there was immense corruption there. And quite frankly, that needs to be brought to justice. It really does. However, and I'm not urging this, but I'm simply saying do not overlook this possibility. This may strike you as shocking. However, in an effort to try and heal the wounds of the country, I don't think it's impossible, maybe not likely, but not impossible, that President Donald Trump might pardon Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
Now, I'm not predicting that. I'm simply saying I think that it is in the realm of the possible.
Wow.
Just as a gesture to say, okay, for all of you who think that there is a witch hunt underway, I do not condone the kind of corruption that has taken place here, nor do I condone the cavalier manner in which classified information was treated. However, as a gesture of goodwill, I will hereby pardon Hillary Clinton. I'm just simply saying I think that's possible, not likely, possible.
Okay, I'll put it in the, we'll write it down as possible.
Yeah.
How about that, under possible?
Okay.
What do you think about Uma, though? What do you think? She's going to face any issues?
Oh, possibly. I don't know the extent to which she may be culpable in all of this, or the extent to which it would be necessary to protect her. I mean, if such a move were done for Hillary Clinton, it would be done because of her highly visible position and the like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that Uma Abedin would necessarily qualify for that level of magnanimous gesture. So what's next for her? I don't know. Of course, she spent her entire adult life as the head gopher for Hillary Clinton. Apparently,
exactly.
That Hillary has been known to snap her fingers and say, gum. And Uma would run off and grab her some chewing gum. Now, that's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is she a person of ability? Apparently. I'm not sure how well she has applied that ability in all cases. So I'm sure as long as there are liberal causes out there that she'll find some place to go.
You know, the other issue, of course, that turned this whole election, looked like it was going to turn this election upside down, was James Comey coming out and saying that, 10 days before the election. What do you think his future is, Jim?
Limited. Well, for one thing, of course, an FBI director has, a 10-year term, I think?
Yes,
and, supposedly, that brings with it a level of independence that, you know, most underlings, and technically the FBI director is under the Attorney General, who in turn is under the President, you know, part of the federal bureaucracy,
right,
and subject to serve at the pleasure of his superiors. But in fact, to keep a certain level of independence, the FBI director, I don't think he can be fired during the tenure of his term. When that
persuaded
time is up, I'm hard-pressed to believe that he'll have a future in public service, quite frankly. I thought that that his decision not to recommend the indictment of Hillary Clinton pretty much put an end to that.
Yeah, well, do you think he could be persuaded that it might be time to go?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought. He certainly has taken a lot of grief in recent years. I'm not sure whether he could be persuaded or not. My guess is he probably doesn't have a very good taste in his mouth about what's happened. I'm told a number of FBI agents have already quit the FBI over what he did. And at one point, we're told he had a reputation for being a person of great integrity. I've not seen evidence of that lately, but the short answer is maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why he'd want to stay in this position, but on the other hand, what would he do next? Who would hire this guy?
Yeah. I think his career is pretty well done.
In the public sector, I think it is.
You know, Paul Ryan came out this morning and had glowing comments to make about Trump and how they're all going to work together for a kumbaya moments here and everything.
Right.
That was kind of kind of unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, they are of the same political party, ostensibly, even though Ryan's been there for his whole adult life, and Trump decided to run as a Republican, a year and a half ago, but they have certain areas of agreement. They'll agree on the replacement of Obamacare. They will agree on rebuilding the military. There'll be some areas of agreement,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get along with each other, I would imagine, on those areas of agreement. What's more, they both think very highly of one individual, and that is the Republican National Chair, Reince Priebus, who is from Wisconsin. So it's very possible that Priebus may act as kind of a mediator between the two power centers in the Republican Party.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was very interesting. Did you see who our Senator Lindsey Graham voted for in the presidential?
No, I didn't hear who he voted for.
Yeah, he voted for Ed McMullen.
Is that the guy from Utah?
Yes.
I didn't even know he was on the ballot in South Carolina.
Well, that's who he voted for. I don't know. I don't remember seeing it. I don't, but. But the bottom line is, he put out a tweet that's who he voted for, and then he put out a tweet after Trump is elected, and he says that he would be willing to do anything he could to help the new president.
Well, frankly, Lindsey Graham is a person of some influence on Capitol Hill, and that would be good for all parties concerned, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would only say good for him. Better late than never, perhaps.
I think, though, for the people of South Carolina, he's kind of put himself in a non-reelectable position. I'll just go on the record and say that from all the people that I talk to and I know, a lot of people are pretty fed up with Lindsey Graham.
Oh, I keep hearing that a lot, and, of course, he keeps winding up winning re-election. He has preferred.
Well, he hasn't been reelected since he pulled all this fiasco.
Well, I mean, what? Did he didn't like Donald Trump? I mean, that let's face it, I didn't like Donald Trump either. I still don't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a pretty despicable human being. He was just better than Hillary, but that's about all Donald Trump was ever better than, in my view.
Right.
I mean, I'll tell you very frankly, I'm already wondering about a primary challenge to President Trump in 2020 if he decides to run for re-election. He was never my first choice. I can't imagine him ever being my first choice. Once he won the nomination, I considered Donald Trump to have one useful purpose, and that is to keep Hillary Clinton out of the Oval Office. Well, he's done that. But I cannot imagine that I will support him within the Republican Party. There are too many areas in which I disagree with him. He's a lousy politician. He doesn't know how to run for public office. He was, to a certain extent, lucky in that he ran against an extremely flawed candidate. So, you know, I'm with Lindsey Graham on the fact I don't care for Donald Trump either, and I don't see any reason to. Like I said, he had one purpose. Thank you for fulfilling it, Donald. You kept Hillary out of the Oval Office.
Well, during the political season, I always interview a lot of our local candidates here, Jim. And it was actually a Democratic candidate who he was voting for, who he was going to support. And he said quite frankly that he wasn't real fond of either, but he would be voting for Hillary as kind of a placard until we could get to 2020. Just a place card there, just somebody to sit there and kind of keep things status quo till we got to 2020. And I looked at him and I said, do you think we have that long where we can just be static for another 4 years?
Well, clearly we're not going to be static during the four-year period. I mean, I don't know exactly what that means. But
no, but I mean, if Hillary had been elected.
Oh, if Hillary had been elected. Well, I mean, if Hillary had been elected, I mean, she would have done things that could not have been undone. She would have certainly replaced the Antonin Scalia seat on the Supreme Court and maybe others as well. And those are people that will be hanging around pushing this country to the left till the middle of this century, for Pete's sake. So there wouldn't have been just sitting around. I mean, Hillary Clinton was a serious danger to this republic, and she's been blocked, and that's good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad for that.
Yeah. So you're not looking forward to President Trump?
We'll see. We'll see what happens. He's displayed an abysmal ignorance of the federal government in many ways. I'm really serious. I'll tell you, if I were that quartet of people I mentioned, Gingrich, Christie, Giuliani, and Pence, see, the first thing I would do is say, here, Mr. Trump, here's something you should read. It'll take you about 20 minutes. It's called The Constitution of the United States. Seriously, I would bet you right now Donald Trump has never read the Constitution front to back. It takes about 20 minutes. I've read it probably 8 or 9 times. That would be a good start right there.
Well, when I get to interview him, I'm going to ask him that question.
Why don't you do that? I'd be very curious. Have you, in fact, ever read the Constitution front to back? I'd really like to know the answer.
And maybe I should have a few pop questions, right?
You could if you want.
No,
to
I'm just making a joke.
go ahead. I just would like to know that he in fact has read it. It would be very helpful to me.
Yeah.
Because some of the things he said indicates he's something less than familiar with its contents.
What do you think about Jim from his business experience and his ability to change the feeling in our country of pretty much hopelessness for the last 8 years?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty amorphous thing. I mean,
yeah.
You talk about, you know, hopelessness. I mean, I'm not sure what Donald Trump's election really does. Maybe it makes people feel better. That's good. If he actually does some things, that will be helpful. Maybe do away with some of the mindless regulation that the Obama administration has dumped on the American people, strengthen our military, tighten our borders, keep us from getting into trade deals that hurt this country. Those would all be very good things.
Or how about just following the laws?
I'm sorry?
How about just following the laws?
But that would be another one. Not only following the law, but following the Constitution.
Yeah.
Although you know, it's most interesting, something that Trump said during the campaign back when the president was issuing his executive orders every day, which are patently unconstitutional in many cases, and Trump promised to out-Obama Obama on executive orders. Really? That's just what we need, another president who doesn't know what the hell the president of the United States is allowed to do. I would hope that among the things that he would do is now reconsider that notion that he will out-executive order Obama. That's the kind of ignorance I'm talking about. That's not the way we do things in this country, Mr. President-elect. That's why he should read that Constitution.
Well,
in case
maybe
you hadn't guessed, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. He has shown huge flaws, and I would like to hope that they'll be corrected between now and January 20th when he takes the oath of office.
Well, truthfully, don't you think that his ability to be the president will be determined by the people that he puts in his cabinets and around him to advise him? Because, yeah, I mean, and I think he's even admitted that he doesn't know all the ins and outs of these
things.
Well,
I would hope. He knows fewer ins and outs than most anybody who's ever assumed the office. Probably Warren Harding in 1920 knew less, but Warren Harding was an ignoramus. Donald Trump, let's not forget Donald Trump's total unfamiliarity with government. He is the only president in American history who has never served in government, either in elective office or in uniform. The only one. He's never done anything under the government. I mean, even William Henry Harrison, Ulysses S. Grant, and Dwight Eisenhower served in the military. And so that's not necessarily a good thing. A lot of people seem to think, oh, he's an outsider. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It's wonderful. I don't know that it's so wonderful. We'll see. I'll reserve judgment on that. Let's see how he does. But just being an outsider
right.
is not a virtue. I mean, unless you know what you're doing and you know how to do it. And we'll see. As I say, he's surrounded by people who do know. And if he listens to them, then that'll be a good thing.
Now, with the first term when President Obama was elected, how did you feel about that one?
When he was elected, well, I didn't have much doubt. He wanted to fundamentally transform America, he said. And this guy was, I think, either the second or third most liberal member of the U.S. Senate by his voting record. I thought it was a terrible thing then, and today I certainly wouldn't change my opinion. It was a bum move on the part of the American public.
But I do remember you saying that you wanted to give him a chance.
Who, Obama?
Obama.
You give him a chance, I guess, to the extent that I don't remember using those words or why I would have said that. But, I mean, I'm willing to see what he does. But he turns around and he does exactly what you could expect him to do, and that is to try to push the country off the left edge of the world.
Right.
I can't remember ever using the phrase,
well, I thought you were...
give him a chance, because, what, give him a chance to destroy the country? I mean,
No, I think you were
going to...
Well, you were reserving judgment. I don't remember exactly how you worded it, but it was something you were... I think you were, of course, not thrilled when he got the office, but once he was... sworn in, became the president, I thought that you became a little bit more open-minded, maybe.
Well,
would
I mean,
be
open-minded
the word.
Is one thing. I mean, I knew pretty much what he intended to do. He wasn't shy about it. I mean, as I say, if I use the phrase, quote, give him a chance, it should have been couched with the caveat to give him a chance as long as we watch him like a hawk and he doesn't do exactly what he almost certainly will do. I certainly wasn't interested in giving him a chance to do what I was pretty sure he was going to do and what it turned out he did try to do. I wasn't for that at all because there was nothing stealth about Barack Obama. You know, some people apparently sneaked up on him. Well, if you checked his voting record, even in the brief time he was in public life, I mean, he spent, 4 years as a U.S. senator and about the same amount of time as a state senator. But, I mean, he never met a left-wing cause he didn't love. It wasn't any secret what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And with Trump, of course, every moment is a guess. We don't know exactly what Trump will do on so many issues. But
well,
it'll be better than Obama, I can guarantee you that.
Well, you know, I think that's his stick, like in business. You know, you got to keep them guessing till you make your final swoop in and make your deal, and then they've just...
Well,
the
but if you don't even have a political philosophy, I mean, if you're all over the map, if you've been for abortion, against abortion, and everything in between, I mean, that's just somebody who doesn't have a political philosophy. I don't find any virtue in that either.
Yeah. Well,
as I say, we've got him. He's better than Hillary. So, okay, let's see what happens.
Well, all righty, Jim. Let's see what happens. I think that's probably where we're at. What, were there any other elections out there that you found particularly interesting as the night went on last night?
Well, any number of ones. It was interesting to see that in some cases Donald Trump appeared to have coattails. For example, in the state of Missouri, he probably pulled Senator Roy Blunt to re-election and a former Green Beret to become the next governor of Missouri. So I was not at all sure he would have any coattails at all, because really his followers weren't particularly Republicans. As such, most of his followers probably hadn't been involved in politics much. Maybe they may have voted for Ross Perot, or if they were old enough, they may have been Reagan Democrats. So that was surprising to me, the extent to which there seemed to have been a certain coattail effect, even among Republican candidates who may not have been particularly close to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, I think we have, what, maybe three more states or something that are legalizing pot?
At least that many, yeah, and also some of them who are legalizing recreational marijuana, others who are legalizing medical marijuana. So yeah, that was a major impact of this election. A lot of throwing the laws against marijuana out the door.
So your perspective has to maybe have changed some, having. Now you're living in South Carolina as opposed to living outside the Beltway in Washington, D.C. What did you think as you were watching things in South Carolina, maybe getting a little more perspective than you would normally get? What did you see, or what are some of your recollections over the last few months?
Well, I certainly enjoy the people in South Carolina. I mean, of course, I don't know them all. I'm sure there are some real bums here, but the people I know are just delightful people. It's a lovely area, and I'm very happy to be a resident and a voter in South Carolina.
Well, I'm talking about from a political, reading the local papers, seeing what's happening.
Well, it's an area whose political viewpoints are much more in line with my own. I mean, I was living in the state of Maryland, for Pete's sake, and that's virtually the People's Republic of Maryland. So, yeah, it's certainly, I find that the government that I'm surrounded by is a lot more to my liking at the local and state level than it was in Maryland, yes.
Yeah, I just was wondering, because we do have kind of a different philosophy down here, and that's kind of hard to look at and look at Washington and some of the other things that are going on. Do you think that Donald Trump will actually be able to, as he puts it, drain the swamp?
Well, not by himself. He does have a Republican Congress, and so he ought to be able to do any number of things, prune back the federal bureaucracy, repeal Obamacare, strengthen the military. There are any number of things that he ought to be able to do. So I'm encouraged that, in fact, he'll be able to do that. We're talking about some pretty entrenched viewpoints here, and we're talking about a bureaucracy which has often looked at new administrations I've been here for 20 years, and I'll be here for 20 more, and you'll be gone in 4 to 8 years, and a lot of them just view every incoming administration as just something that is passing through. Well, not necessarily. If you get people who are really dedicated to some reform, then that could happen. I would hope that it would. It's long overdue.
Yeah, I know one of the things that you always, I believe, always talk about is the fact that if you didn't want divided government, America, why did you vote it in that way?
Well, I mean, I don't know why people do that. It always struck me as really odd. If you have any beliefs at all, I would think that you would vote for people who agreed with your beliefs and not vote for one set of viewpoints for the presidency and another set of viewpoints over here for the Congress. I mean, I don't understand people like that. It just strikes me as odd. And, of course, these are the same people who call in shows like ours and whine about the gridlock, which they helped create. At least in this case, the American public voted for a House, a Senate, and a president of one party, and we haven't had that for a while.
Right. That's why it should make it pretty interesting from that standpoint.
Well, it puts a lot of responsibility on the members of Congress and the president. Now, there's really no excuse for not doing a lot of this stuff.
Well, if they don't, I think Republicans will be finished, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know they'll be finished, but maybe the current incarnation of the Republican Party will have some pretty severe problems. They've been given a reprieve, as it were, and this is their chance, so it's time that they did something.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is interesting to watch. I know that that had to be a very interesting experience for you, being right back up there in Washington and getting the information from all the different sources. You were getting it as it came in.
Yeah, it's always fun. I mean, I've been covering elections since the 1964 election, Barry Goldwater against Lyndon Johnson. So, yeah, there's no question about the fact that I found it interesting. You know, it's, like I said, it's like people say about New York City. Washington, D.C. is a nice place to visit, even if you wouldn't want to live there. So,
now, who's going to be on your show? What do you got planned for tonight? You'll be on WCRS from 10 to 1 in the morning. What's planned?
Absolutely. Coming up tonight on the Bohannon Show, we'll be talking certainly about the election. I'm not sure, just who all our booker has lined up to be on, but certainly we'll be talking about what comes up next. We'll be talking about the transition, what Trump can be expected to do, people who might perhaps wind up in his cabinet. Let's see here. In fact, I can give you some. We're going to have on Jed Babin, former member of the George W. Bush administration. We'll offer his views. Babin is a conservative who has not always been a big fan of Donald Trump's either. We're going to have on Professor Zachary Courser, who will be talking a bit about the Trump victory. He is part of what's group known as the Dreyer Roundtable, and will offer his perspective on just exactly what follows next. In addition, we'll look at the historic turnout of evangelical voters for Donald Trump with Larry Taunton, who joins us for that this evening. So we'll have an examination of just who all voted for Trump, voted against Trump, and what that means as we shift gears and move the nation in a different direction.
Well, I'm glad we had this time this afternoon to get you warmed up for that discussion tonight.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much.
Well, Jim Bohannon, it's always a treasure to talk to you. I hope we're going to be able to get you down here before Christmas in my studio to have a little one-on-one down here in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Well, that would be delightful. We'll have to arrange to see that that happens.
All right. And say hello to your lovely wife. And thanks so much for calling us this afternoon and giving us your point of view here with us.
Well, as always, it's a pleasure to be able to talk with you, Ann, and all the folks who listen to WCRS in Greenwood.
Well, thanks so much, Jim. You get some rest, and we'll be listening tonight to you from 10 to 1.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye, Jim.
Bye now.